Something happened to a Cirrus pilot at 25,000 feet. Paul Poberesny receives the FAA's Wright Master Pilot Award. And the new FAA administrator says hello at Oshkosh. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 31st, 2009. ANN is following the story of a Cirrus SR-22 that went down in West Virginia Thursday night. The pilot was reportedly the sole occupant. According to multiple news agencies, the plane was en route to Eagle Creek Airport just outside Indianapolis from York, Nebraska. Contact was lost near Indianapolis, and NORAD scrambled two F-16s to follow. The pilot did not respond to attempts at contact, and the plane flew on several hundred miles past its destination at 25,000 feet until its fuel was exhausted. The plane is registered to Sequoia Airways in Avon, Indiana. The FAA and NTSB are investigating. Check back with aero-news.net over the weekend in case we get any updates. Here at Whitman Regional Airport, the big occasion at AirVenture yesterday was the introduction of the new FAA administrator, Randy Babbitt, in the annual Meet the Administrator Forum. Babbitt, who was an Eastern Airlines pilot and ALPA union president in past years, was generally well-received by the AirVenture crowd, getting warm applause during the Q&A session when one audience member voiced appreciation for an administrator with an actual aviation background. Before starting his prepared remarks, Babbitt conferred the FAA's Wright Master Pilot Award on EAA founder and recently retired chairman Paul Poberesny. The award is limited to pilots with 50 years of flying experience. Babbitt reminded the crowd of some of the highlights of that career.
Paul established the Experimental Aircraft Association. He's in the National Aviation Hall of Fame. He won the prestigious Wright Brothers Memorial Trophy. He was a military pilot for over 30 years. And that means World War II and Korea. In fact, he's the only man in the armed forces to attain all seven aviation wings that the military has to offer. His logbook tips the scales at more than 30,000 hours. He's designed and built more than 15 different airplanes. And this is the last one makes me stop. He's piloted nearly 500 different types of aircraft, and more than 170 of those were amateur built.
When asked about the encroachment of the Transportation Security Administration on general aviation, the new administrator essentially said, give him some time.
You're all aware, as an administrator, I'm new. On the other side, at the TSA, there's only an acting. We don't have a permanent administrator. One of my goals, when that administrator is named, is to sit down on an interdepartmental level and express what I hear, not only from you, every component of aviation is struggling.
On user fees, despite a background in the airlines, Babbitt seemed both cool to the idea of changes in the FAA's funding mechanism and confident the user fee provision in the Obama budget is not a major concern.
The administration did put in as a placeholder, okay, we'll look at user fees. I think it's just something to say, look, we do have to find some way to do it, but I think at the end of the day, your voices will be heard. We'll find a fair and equitable way that everybody can pay their share and continue to support the great system we have.
Yesterday's forum was overflowing with both attendees and glimpses into the perspective of the FAA's new head. You can read much more coverage of the session in text form at aero-news.net, dated Thursday, and you'll hear excerpts next week, Tuesday through Friday, on the Aero News special feature. Up next on ANN, GA leaders express their views and fears. Rotorway and Rolls-Royce announce a deal sparked at last year's AirVenture. And environmental concerns are driving new products. You're listening to Aero News.
Fly wise with the visionary new Piper Jet's wide-open six-seat comfort and stellar performance. Single Williams turbofan FJ44-3AP engine. Maximum cruise speed, 360 knots true. Range, 1,300 nautical miles. Useful load, 800 pounds. Maximum operating altitude, 35,000 feet. Optional seventh seat or lavatory. The Piper Jet, no compromises. To learn more about the new Piper Jet, visit us at Oshkosh Booths 140 through 143 and 158 through 161. Log on to Piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER. We'll be right back.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Getting the latest avionics technology shouldn't always mean spending a lot of money. That's why Aspen Avionics offers the most affordable glass cockpit solution on the market today. Aspen has made going glass more affordable with the Grand Glass Rebate Program, offering a $1,000 rebate for all purchases of an EFD 1000 Pro PFD. Check out www.aspenavionics.com for all the details.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 31st, 2009. From Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, I'm Paul Plack. With lots of big names from government, industry, and membership organizations all gathered in one place, AirVenture provides a unique opportunity to watch the movers and shakers interact. EAA hosted an aviation summit on Tuesday, a panel discussion involving EAA President Tom Poberesny and Presidents Ed Bolin of the National Business Aviation Association, Craig Fuller of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and Pete Bunce of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association. The major topic was, no surprise, government affairs. Bolin described the state of the industry as, quote, under attack, unquote. Of recent media portrayals of business aviation, he added, quote, they are evoking questions about whether or not there is ever an appropriate use of business aviation, unquote. The groups are already working together on shaping public opinions of the value of GA. EAA and AOPA have cooperated on the GA Serves America campaign, featuring Harrison Ford as a spokesman, while NBAA and GAMA are partners in a campaign called No Plane, No Gain, emphasizing the contributions of GA to business success and the national economy. An additional panelist was Matt Zaccaro, president of the Helicopter Association International. He noted his organization's progress in putting together a first responder database of over 300 helicopter-rated volunteers that could be mobilized in minutes. Among the other threats to GA discussed were the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's likely requirement to end the use of leaded fuels starting in 2016. Bunce noted, quote, there is going to be pain. By November, EPA expects GA to collaborate and come up with a plan and a timeline, unquote. There's more on the specific challenges and opportunities identified by the panelists in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Among the topics being discussed off the record among exhibitors here at Oshkosh this year is how expensive it's become to be here. But as one company manager told us, quote, we can't not be here, unquote. An example of why is an announcement from Rolls-Royce and Rotorway International. Rotorway has made clear its intent to grow out of the kit market into certified machines, and at Oshkosh last year, that led to informal what-if discussions with the engine maker. Fast forward 1 year, and the companies are announcing the Rotorway Eagle 300T, powered by the Rolls-Royce RR300 lightweight turbine. The Hilo is aimed at a niche market for initial turbine training, is projected to be capable of 2 hours plus reserve on 80 gallons, have a useful load of 1,100 pounds, and cruise at 110 knots to 13,000 feet. Ken Roberts, president of the Rolls-Royce helicopter engine business, calls the machine a cost-effective way for professional helicopter pilots to build turbine hours. Quote, it's an ideal match, and we're proud to be a part of it. If it seems an increasing number of new products are being driven by environmental concerns, you're right. CAV Aerospace has announced at Oshkosh that it will collaborate with Killfrost to bring an eco-friendly icing fluid to the market. It's manufactured from feed corn and is fermented to extract glucose. The glucose is then shipped to Killfrost's manufacturing facilities, where it's turned into Type 1 and Type 4 de-icing fluid. Compared to the current fluid, the new fluid reduces carbon dioxide emissions by 40% and is a renewable, sustainable product. It's biodegradable. In fact, in 7 days, 90% of the fluid is completely biodegraded. CAV has also announced the availability of its TKS system for retrofit in Cessna's Corvallis models and older Lancair and Columbia 300 aircraft, and as an option on new Cessna Caravan 208Bs. Still ahead, the industry braces for the loss of leaded avgas. the Gemini Aero Diesel inches toward public release, and Liberty Aerospace courts diesel power for the XL2. You're listening to Aero News.
Introducing the TWX 670 Tactical Weather Detection System. Avadyne's new TWX 670 is a third-generation lightning-based weather detection system that provides a simple and intuitive color contour display with an instantaneous picture of surrounding weather. Check us out online at www.avadyne.com or call 1-800-AVADYNE.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 31st. From Oshkosh, I'm Paul Plack. The issue of disappearing 100 low-lead aviation fuels has engine manufacturers Lycoming and Continental looking ahead to how their customers will adapt. Lycoming's Randy Jensen opened an AirVenture forum on aviation fuels by predicting the EPA will force the general aviation industry to find an alternative to leaded fuels in the next 5 to 7 years. Lycoming's new IE2 engine series, which extensively integrates electronic management, will allow the company's new engines to run on unleaded fuel, which meets Lycoming standards. Autofuel will be problematic because there are no consistent worldwide standards for it. Teledyne Continental Motors President Rhett Ross tells ANN his company has a solution in mind for owners of legacy aircraft equipped with Continental engines. A top overhaul using modified pistons for a slightly lower compression ratio would allow older Continentals to run on 94-octane unleaded avgas, which is essentially formulated the same as 100 low-lead but without the lead. The two companies are split on the long-term answer to replacing avgas. Ross says Continental is pursuing development of diesels, while Lycoming's Jensen says he believes the answer will be synthetic fuels to replace leaded gasoline. Power Plant Developments, which is trying to bring to market an opposed piston two-stroke diesel aircraft engine, is reporting progress despite the down economy. The 100-horsepower Gemini 100 uses opposing crankshafts, one at each end of the cylinders, and pistons which are driven toward each other to create a combustion chamber in the center of the engine. There are no cylinder heads, valve train, or ignition system required. If this sounds a little familiar, it's a smaller execution of a design that debuted in the 1930s as the Junkers Yumo 205. The new engine is expected to come in at 191 pounds, less than the new LSA-class gasoline engines from Continental and Lycoming. Power Plant Development's Tim Archer says his team recently completed mapping the fuel delivery in the computer up to 100 horsepower. Quote, "We've put 26 hours running the final design in the last 2 months," unquote. He adds that new fuel injector nozzles and a new supercharger drive shaft have worked out well, and the engine has been run to 105 horsepower. Following tests of the engine control unit, which are expected to start in 2 to 4 weeks, deliveries to OEM development partners is set to begin in about 8 months, with deliveries to other customers coming in about a year. Another developmental aero diesel has been installed for testing in a Liberty XL2 and is on display here at AirVenture. Liberty says its customer base in non-U.S. markets has made it clear that declining availability and skyrocketing prices for 100 low-lead avgas in some markets has made a jet fuel-burning alternative a priority. The engine being tested by Liberty is from Wilksch Air Motive in the U.K. Liberty doesn't specify the displacement, but the WAM-100 claims an installed weight with fluids of just 119 pounds, with an output of 100 horsepower at takeoff and 90 continuous, while burning 20 to 25% less fuel in cruise than an avgas-fueled engine making the same power. Wilksch says its engine shares little in common with conventional two-stroke engines, has no roller bearings and no crankcase compression or oil-fuel mixing. And finally, today is the last day we'll be originating our Aero Briefing directly from Oshkosh and EAA AirVenture 2009. We could maybe come up with a few gripes, but all in all, what a great event. The new layout that EAA has put together has been widely praised. It has handled the increased crowds this year very well. We have seen some amazing stuff. And if you have never been to Oshkosh, it is a must-do. You have to be here next year, and we will see you here. Through the next couple of weeks, you'll hear snippets of interviews I've conducted while at Oshkosh that we've not had time to release, but they'll be coming your way in the Aero News special feature. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Major Paul Brown of the U.S. Air Force A-10 West Demo Team. We'll find out how warthogs can be things of beauty. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.